May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 962. Come, dearest Lord, and melt my heart, thy animating power impart, blessed source of life divine. Jesus, thy love alone can give the will to rise, the power to live, for every grace is thine. 962.
Thank you. of the Holy Word of God. Let us read two portions of Scripture this evening. Firstly, in the Old Testament, in the first book of Samuel, reading part of chapter 16. The first book of Samuel, chapter 16. And we will read the first 13 verses. 1 Samuel chapter 16. And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, Take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, Comest thou peaceably? And he said, Peaceably. I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab, and said, Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab, and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by. And he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again Jesse made 7 of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, The Lord hath not chosen thee. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. Now, and he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Now in the New Testament, we read some verses in Matthew's Gospel, and chapter 6. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. And we will read the first 18 verses. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise ye have no reward of your Father, which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head, and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. May the Lord grant his rich blessing upon the reading of his holy word to each one of us. And may he now help us to pray. O thou most holy, almighty, and yet most gracious God, Draw us now, Lord, humbly to the footstool of thy mercy, to pour out our hearts before thee. We thank thee, Lord, that we can come and gather ourselves here in this place this night, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who said that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. O Lord, may we know the dear Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ and all the truth that is in him for the salvation of sinners such as we. Lord, may it be found amongst us here tonight, in the power of thy Spirit, to rule our hearts and draw our affections heavenward. Lord, we are not worthy to come in thy presence. We are not worthy, Lord, that thou shouldst be mindful of us here. But we plead that precious sin-atoning blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour of sinners, who gave himself a sacrifice for sin. O Lord, we would come in his name, looking by faith to Christ, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world, all that worldly sinfulness which is in our hearts. Lord, we are the chief of sinners when taught by thy Spirit. And we would confess it, Lord, before thee, that we are unworthy of the least of thy mercies. And yet we need all thy mercy. Lord, thou knowest how each one of us has come here tonight. Lord, thou knowest our hearts. Thou knowest our frame. Thou knowest all about us. We thank thee, Lord, for the privilege to be able to come freely, without threat or hindrance from those who would have it different. Lord, we thank thee we can come. Lord, the opportunity granted to us and the time, Lord, that we can spend in the courts of thy house, around and beneath thy holy word. We thank thee, Lord, for thy word which we have in our own tongue. And we ask, Lord, thy blessing upon the portions which we have read. Lord, may it not return to thee void, but may thy word, Lord, accomplish that which thou doth please, and may it prosper in the thing to which thou doth send it. Lord, as we look into thy word this night, Lord, not my words alone to be heard just in our heads, Lord, but the voice of thee, the Almighty God, in the power of the Spirit, Lord, to be applied to each opened heart, and Lord, there to be applied in the power of the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. Lord, thou knowest what we have need of, and we pray thou wilt supply it. Lord, without thee we can do nothing. Lord, we will go away empty as if we've never been to the courts of thy house. But Lord, oh, we pray thou wilt take of thine own word, take of our own hearts, and may there be some blessing imparted. Lord, thou knowest where we need correction. Lord, thou knowest where a soul needs to be quickened. Lord, thou knowest where a soul needs to be strengthened and helped and blessed and confirmed in the way of truth, in the way everlasting. O Lord, do hear and answer each prayer that is put up to thee from each heart this night. May this place of worship ever be a house of prayer, a house of answered prayer. Lord, prayer answered to the honour and glory of thy name. Lord, do remember each one of us. Remember the children. O Lord, we thank thee, children are found in the courts of thy house. We commend them to thee. Watch over them, Lord, as they grow. Shield them from the evils of this wicked world where Satan's seat is. Lord, put thine arms about them. Keep them to thyself and thy hand, as it were, upon them to bless them. Confirm them as the lambs of thy fold. Lead them forth by the right way. Thou, their good shepherd, the good shepherd that gave his life for the sheep. So, Lord, bless them as they grow with the knowledge of the truth as it is in Jesus, that they come to love thee through thy love for them and to follow thee as true disciples. Lord, the young people likewise we commend to thee in all their pathway, in all the changing scenes of life. Lord, the many decisions that have to be taken, especially at such a time as this, following examinations and the results that come to pass. O Lord, do lead and guide those that are awaiting or have received those exam results. Lord, help them to be much in prayer, that thou wilt lead and guide them in the way that they shall go. And may that way be sanctified to the good of their never dying souls. Supply their needs, Lord, in their education, in vocation, in occupation. Lord, in location where they are to live, in friendships, acquaintances, in the marriage bond, in the bringing up of children. Oh, Lord, there is so much, Lord, that falls upon the younger generations. And we pray, Lord, thou wilt be mindful of them and supply all their needs, according to thy riches in glory, by Christ Jesus. Lord, those expecting children, we commend them to thee. Lord, that thou wilt grant them safety at the time of birth. Lord, life spared of the mother and life given to the child, and all adowned to thine honour and to thy glory. Oh, Lord, we pray for the families with young children. What wisdom, Lord, is needed in these difficult days, in all that has to be attended to. Lord, we pray thou wilt give all needed patience, perseverance, and answers to the many prayers, and to lead and guide in all matters that arise. Lord, and we pray, oh, thou wilt bless those labours of parents who seek for the good, the spiritual good of their children. Lord, be with each of us, no matter what our age. Lord, we need thy help and presence at all times. Oh, do not leave us, Lord, to the sinfulness of our own hearts, but let thy good spirit rule our heart and govern all our words and ways. May thy grace abound in every part, and ever teach our tongues to sing thy praise. Lord, it is not easy to praise thee when matters go contrary to our own thoughts, our own will. And there are those disappointments, and there's the trials, Lord, even trials of our faith. Oh, Lord, we are not spared such things. But, oh, Lord, we thank thee. There's a throne of grace. Through Christ Jesus to bring all our matters there to obtain mercy. And thy grace to help us in the time of our need, for that grace is sufficient to supply all of our need. And so, Lord, increase our faith to ever look unto thee, casting all our care upon thee, knowing thou doth care for us. Remember any, Lord, that have pains and afflictions. O Lord, we do pray thou wilt hear their prayers and prayers put up on their behalf. Prayers, Lord, for loved ones, wherever they may be tonight. Lord, any that would be here if they could. Lord, perhaps some are detained through business and responsibilities, some away at this time of year, on a holiday. O Lord, remember each one. Do not leave them nor forsake them. But, Lord, may their times be in thy hand. And grant, Lord, those blessings that thou alone canst give, where they can rejoice in thee, Christ, their Saviour. Lord, we pray for those who may be bereaved of loved ones. Lord, be merciful to them. May they know thy divine compassion. Lord, the loss of loved ones is severe. But Lord, we pray that thy love, oh, may be fixed in those hearts, Lord, that cry unto thee for thy solace and for thy comfort. Lord, we do pray that at times when these things are bound to come, we may find thee as a refuge. Yes, a refuge because we are sinners, but a refuge in thy love to help and to strengthen and provide every hour of our needs. We pray, Lord, for those that minister the gospel. Oh, Lord, we do pray thou wilt help them. They are but men, Lord, and like passions as anyone else. Lord, and they fear that they should be a hindrance. Lord, I fear that they should be a stumbling block to the tender-hearted. But, O Lord, we pray that thou wilt be their help, those thou hast appointed, those who are steadfast upon the truth, upon the rock Christ Jesus. Lord, seeking to declare the whole counsel of God. Lord, do use them to the honour and glory of thy name. Prompt them from within by thy Spirit, that thy word does not fall to the ground, but thou wilt use it, Lord, to the life of many a soul, the strength of many a soul, to feed those souls with the bread of heaven, with the waters of salvation. O Lord, to preach Christ and him crucified, and Christ risen again, now ascended on high, having led captivity captive, giving gifts unto men. And, O Lord, how we need those gifts of thy grace and the assurance of faith, that we look unto Jesus and live in that tender fear, Lord, which thou doth impart. O Lord, so bless the ministry of the gospel, that many, oh, may have that sweet assurance within their soul that it is well through that shed blood of Jesus Christ, who gave himself a sacrifice for their sin. Lord, we do lay these things before thee. We mourn, Lord, our sins and the sins of our nation. Lord, there is but confusion on account of sin. And those, Lord, that disown thee and count thee as nothing worth or even deny thy very being, seek to have the power and the rule and the authority in our land. O Lord, do not let them prevail in their endeavours. Lord, thou art almighty. Thou art yet, Lord, the ruler of all things upon this earth. Lord, who stem the tide of evil. And Lord, we pray that in our Parliament, Lord, our government, and in the Prime Minister, thou wilt give, Lord, of thy Spirit to teach and guide into thy truth, to bring into thy tender fear, which is the beginning of wisdom, and show them what they ought to do. Lord, these things are impossible with man, but they're possible with thee. And Lord, our eyes are upon to thee, for it is nothing with thee to help, with many or with few. So, Lord, we pray, thou wilt appear for the good of thy church, for the good of thy people, that we be not overruled by the ungodly. Lord, do not let the younger people, the young rising generation, come into times of persecution and prosecution for thy name's sake. But may they, as that time goes on, if it is thy will, enjoy the freedom of worship, Lord, the liberty of the proclamation of the gospel, as we have enjoyed all our days. Lord, we pray, thou wilt so appear for our help. And we pray, Lord, for the ingathering of the harvest. Lord, thou hast granted it in accordance with thy faithfulness, that seed time and harvest, summer and winter, cold and heat, day and night shall not fail while the earth remains. But Lord, there's been the hindrance in it being gathered in. We pray, Lord, for the maintaining of suitable weather, that it all be gathered in for the supply of our need for another year, the need of our bodies. And to thee be all the praise and all the glory. Lord, we are not worthy of the least of thy mercies, yet thy long suffering, which yet supplies our daily needs. Ever give us, Lord, truly thankful hearts for every mercy. Lord, may we now know thy mercy tonight. Come, help us to further sing thy praises. Make the hymns prayers in our hearts. And open up thy word. Oh, may the words of these my lips and the meditation of each of our hearts be found acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. We ask these things in the name of Jesus and for his sake alone. Amen.
Hymn 943. The God of grace delights to hear the plaintive cry, the humble prayer. Nor shall the weakest saint complain that he has sought the Lord in vain. 943.
Thank you.
complete dependence, dear friends, upon our Lord to help us, and for he to open up to us the truth contained in his holy word, that there may be some application of it to the good of our never dying soul and our pathway in this earthly life. I would ask your prayerful attention by way of a text to the chapter or part of the chapter we read in the first book of Samuel, chapter 16, and the latter part of verse 7. The first book of Samuel, chapter 16, and the latter part of verse 7. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Friends, these are most solemn and searching words which affect each one of us. For we're all beneath the all-seeing eye of Almighty God, the ever-living God, one who never changes. The one who is the ever-present one. And he sees us here tonight, exactly as we are, in body, mind, and spirit. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And dear friends, when we consider that we have a heart within us which is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, how we should fear and tremble at the all-seeing eye and the knowledge of Almighty God. For God, the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance. That's all we can do, isn't it? We may judge on the outward appearance, but we know not all things concerning the deepness of the feelings of the hearts of those whom we may judge. But God looketh upon the heart. The context, of course, is when the Lord sent Samuel to anoint one who was to be king following Saul. The Lord sent Samuel to Bethlehem. He sent Samuel to Jesse and the household of Jesse. And for fear that Saul may find out why Samuel was going, there was a pretense of this sacrifice. But the purpose was for Jesse's sons to pass before Samuel, and for the Lord to tell Samuel whom the Lord had chosen to be king. And when the eldest of Jesse's sons came before Samuel, Samuel said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." He looked on the outward appearance. No doubt he was great in stature. He was well formed. He was of a good countenance. He was one who could command the respect of the people, one who was strong, who could go and fight the battles against the enemy. Surely this is the Lord's anointed. No, Samuel, you're looking on the outward appearance. The Lord looks upon the heart. We read, don't we, at the end of the second chapter of John's Gospel, when Jesus is in Jerusalem. Oh, he did not make himself known there to the people, for he knew what was in all men. He knew what was in their hearts. There's a very solemn teaching here, isn't there? And it's based on this: the Lord knoweth them that are his, and he knoweth them that are not his. Even though in the outward appearance, as we may judge, they do appear to be the Lord's people. We have many an example in the scriptures on such a teaching as this, and how we need to take heed to it concerning ourselves. When all Jesse's sons that were present and had been sanctified for the outward feast, the outward sacrifice, dear friends, none of those had been chosen by God. And so they had to fetch the youngest from the field, this David. And when David came physically, dear friends, he was of a good countenance and goodly to look to. But he was not as great in stature and as strong as the elders. But this was the one whom God had chosen, because this was the one upon whom he would put his spirit to rule his heart. And as we read in another part of the Word of God, David was a man after God's own heart, after his own heart. Not because of David in the flesh. David was a sinner in the flesh, and he ever was. But David had been given and blessed with the Spirit of God and the fear of God, and to conduct himself wisely in that fear. Yes, at times he fell. Dear friends, he didn't get to heaven, did he? He didn't get to heaven on his own works, on his own achievements, great that they were physically in many a case in all the fightings and the battles that he had, nor because he was the king of Israel. David's hope of heaven, his dear friends, was the Lord's mercy upon him. He was a vessel of the Lord's mercy. He was bestowed with the Spirit of God. And dear friends, when he sinned, dear friends, he was brought to confess those sins. Even towards the end of his days when he sinned, in outnumbering Israel, he says, oh, let me now fall into the hand of God, for there is mercy. Dear friends, that's what he was taught by the Spirit of God. Oh, many would have judged David, especially through his adultery, as being completely unfit for many of the offices that he took. And dear friends, in his nature he was. But his heart. Oh, dear friends, this is quite a constant theme throughout the Word of God, isn't it? The heart of man. The heart of mankind. Jeremiah, as I've already quoted, states our hearts, all of our hearts by nature, are deceitful, above all things, and desperately wicked. And dear friends, left to our hearts by nature, we would all perish in that lake of fire. Well, not perish completely, but we would know that everlasting punishment and damnation and torment and torture in that lake of fire. We thank God and praise God there's a people. There's a people whom the Lord changes the heart. He takes away the heart of stone. That heart which is unconcerned regarding eternity. A heart which only lives to itself and to its own benefits here upon this earth, and that can be a religious way. And give a heart of flesh, a softened heart, a receptive heart, a heart, dear friends, that looks for the forgiveness of sins under the influence of the Spirit of God, sovereignly imparted to it. And dear friends, the giving of that new heart. Christ Jesus calls it being born again. Born of the Spirit. Born of God. And dear friends, it's that such a heart, prevailed on by the Spirit of God, that reveals the truth concerning the mercy of God. And that saving grace of God through the gift of His Son, which carries us from time to a blessed eternity and nothing else. God doth not see as man seeth. Man looketh upon the outward appearance, but God looketh upon the heart. Oh, dear friends, how we need, don't we, to search our heart. Of what sort they are. David prayed, didn't he? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way which is everlasting. The way to eternal life. I read that portion in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, where Jesus teaches concerning the Jews at that time, who believed that through their own outward appearance, their own deeds, that they were acceptable before God. They were acceptable before men, for as they were seen, praying on the street corners, as they were observed giving those alms, those gifts to those who were poorer than themselves. When they fasted, as if they were in great need of the Lord to appear for them in whatever circumstance they were in. They did it for the praise of men. And as those outwardly looked upon them, oh, seeing them in their deeds and in their prayers, how they would have considered them to be godly men, right religious men, righteous men. And yet their hearts were far from Him. Oh, that's a solemn word, isn't it, where the Lord speaks of a people worshipping Him with their lips, yes, and outwardly with deeds, in accordance with the law, but their hearts are far from Him. You know, dear friends, there is an outward righteousness which can be acclaimed by many of others for their steadfast, upright walk outwardly. But the Lord Jesus said, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. In no wise. You say, oh, but those Jews didn't believe in Jesus. No. But we can read further in that Gospel of Matthew, in the same Sermon on the Mount in chapter 7. Of those who call Jesus Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have done many mighty works, in thy name have cast out devils. Dear friends, if we had those evidences outwardly, through those who preach the gospel today and the casting out of devils and mighty works done, how we would acclaim those as godly, gracious men of God. Looking at the outward appearance. And yet Jesus said, oh, in that last day he would say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Because in all their preaching, in all their deeds, they were depending upon it to plead it before the judgment seat that they were worthy of eternal life. Oh, dear friends, how this searches us out, how we have come to the house of God tonight. Myself here preaching, as the Lord may enable me to. But dear friends, I cannot plead that as any merit to enter eternal life. We may be walking in the way the Lord has constrained us to go. But our doings, dear friends, are not worthy. Worthy of merit of eternal life. John the Baptist. None greater than John the Baptist, born of women, says Jesus. And what a task he was appointed to do, to prepare the way of the Lord before him. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And dear friends, as we come to the house of God, how do we come? Are we content with just our outward religious form? Are we content with hearing the word of God, reading the word of God? It enters our heads, our minds. We know and we can say and we say we believe that Jesus is the Son of God and he can perform those miracles and all the things we read of. And or we'll endeavour to walk morally and uprightly in accordance with the word of God and keep ourselves from outward wickedness and evils, and we become content in our earthly life, the practice of it. Dear friends, we can be so and become so far short of the kingdom of God. For the Lord doth not see as man seeth. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, but man looketh on the outward appearance. But the Lord looketh upon the heart. Many of you perhaps have got friends in Holland like we have, like I have. And in some of the churches there can be thousands. 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. But a Dutch friend spoke recently and said, but we are a very mixed people. For many it is just a custom. It is a practice. It is almost a religious endeavour for which they've been brought up in. And they attend the house of God. They keep themselves morally upright. But maybe God is not in all their thoughts. They've had no change of heart to bring them humbly to the footstool of mercy. Now, dear friends, we mustn't judge. But that is what was said, and if that is the truth, oh, how solemn. How solemn if that is the truth concerning us. All our religion is just outward. You know, I don't think we read of a more solemn character than Judas. Judas Iscariot. Judas was called to be near unto Jesus. He was called to be one of those 12. And there was nothing to distinguish him outwardly from the other 11. Where Jesus went, he went. He was taught the parables which Jesus spoke to the people, which the disciples were privileged to hear the meaning of them. He saw the miracles Jesus did. He was subject to them, especially on that boat on the sea in the time of the storm. He saw the feeding of the 5,000, no doubt one of those disciples who picked up the fragments that remained. But after that, dear friends, in John's Gospel we read how Jesus spoke to the people who sought him to make him a king, that they followed him not because they perceived the miracle, because they ate of the loaves and were filled. And Jesus spoke very solemnly concerning the bread of heaven, that he was the bread of heaven that came down for the life, the spiritual life of sinner souls. And unless they ate his body and drank his blood, they had no life, no spiritual life in them. And many said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? As they looked upon it outside of the gift of faith. They looked on it in a physical, practical terms. Who can do this? Why, that'd be a great sin. To eat of Jesus' flesh and drink of his blood, or of anything else, even of a beast. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. And he said to his disciples, when many went away from him because of those words, will ye also go away? Peter said, Lord, to whom else can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we know and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Did Judas go away? Jesus stayed there with those 12 disciples. Dear friends, there was nothing to distinguish him from any other. And yet Jesus said, have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? Oh, the mystery. One of you is a devil. One of you is not truly a spiritual disciple of mine to be called by grace. And yet outwardly those other disciples could not detect anything concerning Judas. Oh, Judas was to be used in the sovereignty of the purpose of God to betray Jesus into the hands of sinners. That the power over sin and over the devil, over Satan, should be destroyed. But Jesus says, better for that man if he'd never been born. And when the time came, and Jesus, sorrowing, said after the supper, one of you shall betray me. They all said, is it I? They didn't know it was Judas. Even Judas said, is it I? Dear friends, what was the great solemn case with Judas? The love of this world, the love of money, was never less than the love of Christ. The things of this world, the things of prosperity financially, was always the predominant thing in his heart. It was never overruled by a true revelation, by the Spirit of God, of the love of Christ to sinners and his need of a Saviour. And so, as far as we can tell, Judas perished in his sin. Dear friends, no change of heart, no new birth, no real faith. no knowledge of grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet outwardly looked upon by in the appearance as we would look, a good disciple, a godly disciple, but in the eyes of God a devil. Oh dear friends, how we need the Lord to search us out, don't we? How are we in our religious conduct? How are we in our walk in life? Jesus knows, God knows, Jesus who is God, knows all things concerning us. Those scribes and those Pharisees who went into the house where Jesus was teaching appeared to be no different to all the others round about. But when they brought that man sick of the palsy, let him down through the roof, and Jesus said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." And friends, the Lord knew what was in their heart when they said, "This man blasphemeth." Dear friends, he knows the thoughts of our hearts. He knows all things that goes on inside us. And what does he see there? Many sins, doesn't he? Oh, how guilty we are in our thoughts as well as in our words and in our deeds. May this be a solemn word to each of us. And dear friends, to consider, am I his or am I not? There may be many who look upon us in our outward walk and consider, yes, that we are godly. But, dear friends, only the Lord knows our heart. And that is the main aspect. How stands the case, my soul, with thee? For heaven are thy credentials clear. There is also mercy, isn't there, in this word? The Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh upon the heart. When we consider that woman of the city who came in to where Jesus was in the house of the Pharisee. She came in to wash his feet with tears, wipe them with the hairs of her head. Oh, the Pharisee looked on the outward appearance of this woman. Yes, she was a great sinner. She was a great sinner. There was no doubt about that. And he even spoke against Jesus. If he were a prophet, he would know what type of woman this was that touched him, for she is a sinner. Yes, Jesus knew exactly what this woman was. He looked upon her heart. She was a sinner. But a humbled, repentant sinner. One who needed pardon. One who needed forgiveness. One who needed deliverance from the power of sin. One in whom was the gift of faith. To know that this Jesus was the Son of God. And he alone could save her from the consequence of her sin. Oh dear friends, how often we may be condemned for something we may do outwardly. As if it's foolish, as if it's wrong. But the Lord looketh upon the heart. And you know, dear friends, when we do something wrong and we do sin, don't we? If there's true repentance, a true confession of our sin, humbly seeking that throne of grace, pleading that precious sin atoning blood of Jesus, does the Lord condemn for the sin that has been done? We don't find it, do we? We find he's a God of compassion. He's a God of mercy. A God of all grace. That where sin abounds, his grace doth much more abound. Oh, what a mercy God does not judge us directly on account of our sin, but gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him, through that gift of faith, that sovereign gift by the Holy Spirit, shall not perish, but have eternal life. Oh, the words of Jesus to that woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Thy sins, which are many, are all forgiven thee. The Lord looketh upon the heart. We think of David, don't we? When he, in his weakness of the flesh, committed adultery. Dear friends, on the outward appearance, oh, if we had someone, perhaps in our church, and they fell into such sin. Dear friends, we could only judge them by the outward appearance. And seek to have nothing more to do with them. But the Lord, oh how gracious he is. Far above how gracious we can be. Dear friends, he convinced David of his sin. Where David had to confess, the one that hath done this thing should surely die. When Nathan gave him the parable of the rich man and the little ewe lamb of the poor man, which the rich man had taken and killed and had spared his own flock. Thou art the man worthy of death on account of his sin. Guilty under the law. Dear friends, David knew he was. Oh, in that lovely psalm of confession, Psalm 51. There's a lovely part of it, isn't there? Oh, may it apply to each one of us in all our sin. We can throw no stones at David, can we? The Lord Jesus said, if a man looketh upon a woman in his heart, he'd committed adultery. David said about creating in him a clean heart. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. No matter how great the sins of our flesh. Dear friends, where we come, to the conviction of it. And it becomes that great burden upon us. That all we can do is cry for his mercy. Have mercy upon me, David begins, O God. According to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Praying by faith from a broken and a contrite heart. The Lord will not despise. For the Lord looketh not on the outward appearance. The Lord looketh upon that heart. He hears the groaning of the prisoner, doesn't he? Oh, dear friends, if you are in such a state where you have sinned greatly, there is yet mercy. Out of the depths, says the psalmist, have I cried unto thee. There is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. And dear friends, that's through the gift of the Spirit of God, isn't it? Who convinces us of sin, leads us to Jesus' blood. And in that tender fear, knowing we are completely dependent, not on whatever we do. Although we should seek to do good things, get me rightly. Of course we should. We should seek to walk uprightly. But we don't get to heaven because of that. Our hope is on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness, which we plead from a broken and a contrite heart. And such shall be saved. Oh, dear friends, what a mercy there is, isn't there, in this text, as well as a searching, solemn word. The Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh upon the heart. Comes to my mind of Mary, the one who was often found at Jesus' feet. Dear friends, to Martha, her sister, when they were entertaining Jesus and the disciples. Oh, Martha was left for a time to look on the outward appearance, that Mary was not helping her to undertake that duty, which was nothing sinful in it, was the preparing the meal for Jesus and the disciples. But how she was criticised by Martha. Even she brought the case before the Lord. Carest thou not my sister doth not help me? Ready to accuse her sister. But Jesus looked upon the heart. Mary hath chosen that good thing which shall not be taken away from her. One thing is needful. Oh, you know, dear friends, sometimes people have been criticised for not doing what they think they should be doing, when within them there was the exercise of heart to lay their matter before the Lord. That may be a case with some of you here, I do not know. Maybe loved ones have criticised you or spoken against you because of something they think you should be doing, but the exercise in your heart is above earthly things. It's for the blessing of your soul, the mercy of your soul. And you try to find that time and space to sit at Jesus' feet. Oh, Mary was criticised when she brought that alabaster box of ointment, didn't she? And she broke it upon Jesus' head and, yes, then anointed his feet and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Why was not this box of ointment sold for 200 pence and given to the poor? She hath done what she could. The Lord looked upon the heart. She hath done this against my burying. She hath done this in faith, knowing that Christ, as she viewed him by faith, was going to die to pay the price for sin. And it was her sin laid upon him, included in all those that was laid upon him. And she mourned. And she mourned that which he was to suffer. And she anointed through love to him that what she could do. She hath done what she could. And what a testimony, dear friends, that has been, hasn't it? Ever since, recorded in the Word of God. Oh, dear friends, what a mercy there is, isn't there, even in this text. The Lord seeth not as man seeth. The man looketh upon the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh upon the heart. Dear friends, what is our heart like tonight? Is it broken? Is it contrite on account of our sin? We've got many sins, haven't we? And there's many stones that could be thrown against us because of our sins, I'm sure. As the law may be applied, and we be found guilty. But oh, this precious truth, to know our sins laid upon Jesus. Drawn, dear friends, to that footstool of his mercy. And to find their salvation full and free. The Lord looketh upon the heart. And dear friends, he ever will do. He will in the day of judgment. Oh, what an application this text has in the day of judgment. We read that in that day all the books shall be opened and all the deeds of mankind. Oh, from the very beginning of Genesis right to the end of time. Everyone that's born of Adam's race, those books shall be up revealing the deeds, the words, the thoughts of all people. Then they shall be judged under that righteous law of God. And we read they were cast into the lake of fire. Except those whose names were found written in the book of life. Whose names were found written in the book of life. Those dear friends for whom Christ had died. And he'd broken those seven seals through his sufferings, through his death, through his glorious resurrection. Dear friends, that those whom for whom the Father had given him, they should live forever. Because I live, he says, ye shall live also. There was their names written. Therefore all their sins had no more power over to condemn their soul. And these were the hearts of those, dear friends, who had known this grace, this mercy whilst they were here upon this earth. And Christ to them was the chiefest among 10,000. He was the altogether lovely one. Oh, how precious is the Saviour. Precious. Unto you that believe, he is precious. Dear friends, can you say that tonight? And the Lord hath put that in your heart, hasn't he? And sin becomes exceedingly sinful when you fail. And when you do that which is contrary to his word. And your own heart, which is still within you of the flesh. Still affects in what you say and think and do. Oh, how often we fall, daily, hourly. And sin becomes exceedingly sinful. But there's that throne of grace. Where we constantly come to by faith. For the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth from all sin. And dear friends, those hearts, they're broken, they're contrite. They're humble. They depend upon that shed blood of Christ. And their names are written in that Lamb's book of life. Oh dear friends, what sinners we are. Sinners to our dying day. We thank the Lord he doth not look upon our sins. Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven. Whose sin is covered. Whose sin is covered. That precious robe of righteousness wrought out by Jesus Christ. His obedience to the will of the Father. His obedience, his righteousness. In the fulfilling of the law, in obedience to it, and in the sufferings of all the sins that are under it, having paid the price, the fullness in Christ Jesus. That righteousness given to all that the Father gave him, and taught by the Spirit. Dear friends, they call Jesus Jehovah Sidkenu. The Lord our righteousness. That's what's in our heart, isn't it? Taught, led, put there by the Spirit. And that's our hope of eternal life. Oh, dear friends, how precious is this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ for sinners such as you and me. And how it makes us to search our hearts. Am I his? Is my heart prepared? Do I know this redeeming love of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do I know that love of God shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost given to me? Once in him, dear friends, in him forever, the hymn writer put it, thus the eternal covenant stands. Our sins blotted out as a thick cloud. Sins remembered no more. Our hope in what Christ hath done. Dear friends, this is our blessing, isn't it? And that's the basis of our worship as it should be here tonight. To come, meet around his word, and pray for a greater application of it. There's one hymn we sometimes sing in our hymn book, 1024, I think it is. Oh, for a heart to praise the Lord. A heart from sin set free. a heart that's sprinkled with the blood, show freely shed for me. A heart resigned, submissive, meek, the great Redeemer's throne, where only Christ is heard to speak, where Jesus reigns alone. Thy nature, gracious Lord, impart, come quickly from above. With thy new name upon my heart, thy new, best name of love. Dear friends, for such who pray that prayer earnestly from the depth of their heart, the object of their first desire, Jesus crucified for them, that heart is prepared for eternal life. Dear friends, that heart is most greatly blessed. It's the gift of God. And he says, I give unto my sheep eternal life. Oh, may we know this truth savingly in our hearts, for there's nothing else that can take us from the desert of a solemn eternity in hell to a blessed eternity in the kingdom of heaven. For God, the Lord, seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Dear friends, when we come to that judgment day, what will be seen in us? Will there be seen that good hope through grace, through Jesus Christ? I pray that it will be for each one of you, that not each of us will be left out of that precious secret love of God in the gift of his only begotten Son. The Lord bless his word and exercise us in it. Amen.
Willing, Mr. Fred Ince is expected to preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Pocock on Monday at our special services. Let us close with hymn 1149. What think you of Christ is the test, to try both your state and your scheme. You cannot be right in the rest, unless you think rightly of him. As Jesus appears in your view, as he is beloved or not, so God is disposed to you, and mercy or wrath is your lot. 1149.
do bless thine own word amongst us each tonight. And may that last verse of that last hymn be the confession from our hearts to know our Jesus crucified, to by far excel all things beside. Jesus, the one thing needful, we without him must perish. So, Lord, rule our hearts and help us in this life to walk in love as thou hast loved us, not for our merit, but in love to thee, who gave thyself for as a sacrifice for our sin. May this truth rule and reign within our hearts, and, Lord, so look upon it that we are thine. And thou art ours. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.